Welcome to the CyberIQ Weekly Podcast, your concise guide to the ever-changing world of cyber regulation. I am Alex, and joining me as always is our lead analyst, Sarah.
It is great to be here, Alex. This week we are tracking 7 hard deadlines landing between today and August 2nd, alongside significant developments from the Supreme Court on age verification and new mandatory data audits from China.
Let us dive right in with that Supreme Court decision. It seems we have conflicting signals on age verification in the United States. What is the latest?
You are right, Alex. It's a complex picture. On July 6th, the Supreme Court declined to block Texas's App Store age verification law, Senate Bill 2420. This means its App Store age categorization and parental consent duties are fully enforceable during the appeal process. However, just days earlier, on June 27th, a federal judge in Nebraska issued a preliminary injunction against that state's parallel mandate, Legislative Bill 383, finding it likely violates the First Amendment.
So, 2 different outcomes for similar laws. What is the key distinction the courts appear to be drawing?
The distinction seems to be where the age verification sits in the technology stack. The courts appear to be drawing a line between duties imposed on the App Store or device layer, which are several steps removed from expressive content, and identical duties imposed directly on social platforms. The former is surviving scrutiny, while the latter is not. This means the compliance burden for 2027 could land squarely on companies like Apple, Google, and the developers who publish through them, rather than the platforms themselves.
That is a crucial nuance. Are there any other federal or state-level developments in this space?
Absolutely. Utah's App Store regime took effect on May 6th, and Louisiana's follows on July 1st, 2027. Furthermore, the House of Representatives passed House Resolution 7757, the KIDS Act, on June 29th, by a vote of 267 to 117. This bill folds a federal Screen Act age check requirement into a Children's Online Privacy Protection Act expansion.
Thank you, Sarah. Moving to China, we are seeing new mandatory annual data audits. Can you break down what companies need to know about Cyberspace Administration of China Order No. 24?
This is a significant development, Alex. On June 18th, the Cyberspace Administration of China, together with the Ministry of Industry and Information Technology and the Ministry of Public Security, promulgated the Network Data Security Risk Assessment Measures as Order No. 24. It takes effect on August 20th, 2026. This instrument is the first in China to convert risk assessment from a principle into a dated, filed, and auditable annual obligation with named consequences for failure.
What are the specifics of this new requirement?
Article 5 requires every important data processor to conduct a risk assessment once a year. They must also reassess promptly whenever a material component changes. General data processors are encouraged, but not required, to assess at least once every 3 years. Article 16 mandates that the resulting report be filed with the competent authority within 20 working days of completion, defaulting to the provincial or national cyberspace authority if no specific department has been designated. Article 15 sets a 3-year minimum retention period for these reports.
And what about the implications for how companies engage with assessors?
That is where it gets particularly interesting. Article 12 bars the same assessor, or any of its affiliates, from performing more than 3 consecutive annual assessments. Article 11 prohibits sub-delegating the work. These provisions import an auditor rotation logic, similar to financial audit, into data security, meaning multinational companies cannot simply retain one consultancy indefinitely. The most impactful provision is Article 19, which states authorities may order remediation, and upon refusal, suspend important data processing entirely. This is an operational kill switch, not just a fine, for noncompliance.
That is a serious enforcement tool. What are the critical actions companies should take?
Excellent, Sarah. Staying with deadlines, the Federal Risk and Authorization Management Program, or FedRAMP, is making some changes. What is happening with the FedRAMP Ready designation?
The FedRAMP Ready designation is retiring, Alex. Under the consolidated rules for 2026, which took effect on July 4th, FedRAMP will accept no new Ready submissions after July 28th. Existing Ready holders must move through the Ready conversion path. A temporary Revision 5 program certification pipeline opens up August 10th for eligible Class B and Class C providers, and the FedRAMP 20X Class A pipeline opens August 3rd. The consolidated rules for 2026 become mandatory for every offering on January 1st, 2027.
So, a clear call to action there. What should cloud service providers do?
Any cloud service provider with a package awaiting submission should file it before July 28th. After that date, the ready designation becomes legacy, and only the ready conversion path remains. Companies must confirm their eligibility for either the ready conversion or lost sponsor route.
Moving across the Atlantic, the United Kingdom's buy now, pay later sector is about to see significant regulatory changes. What is happening there?
From July 15th, Alex, deferred payment credit comes into scope of Section 189 of the Consumer Credit Act of 1974 under Statutory Instrument 2025/1154. This means lenders will need Financial Conduct Authority, or FCA, authorization or a temporary permission. They must also run upfront affordability and creditworthiness checks and fall under the Consumer Duty, Section 75 protections, and Financial Ombudsman Service jurisdiction. The temporary permissions notification window, by the way, closed on July 1st.
What does this mean for buy now, pay later lenders and merchants?
They must confirm their authorization or temporary permission status for every lending entity involved. Additionally, they need to verify that their affordability, refund, and complaints flows meet consumer duty outcomes from day one. Operating outside authorization or the temporary permissions regime after go-live is a criminal offense.
Another deadline fast approaching is from France's Data Protection Authority. What is the Commission Nationale de l'Informatique et des Libertés, or CNL, requiring regarding email tracking pixels? The CNL issued Deliberation 2026-042, which gave organizations 3 months from its April 14th publication date to notify recipients about tracking pixels in emails and offer an easy means to object. That window closes on or about July 14th. After this date, CNL says it will verify compliance through its inspection powers. Exemptions include transactional email and individual deliverability measurement tied to a requested service. So companies need to act quickly. Yes, they must send a pixel use notice with an easy objection route to every French contact collected before April 14, 2026. They should also classify each email stream as transactional, consented, or marketing. Finally, let us touch on the European Union Artificial Intelligence Act and California's Artificial Intelligence Transparency Act. What is coming on August 2nd? On August 2, 2026, the European Commission's power to fine general-purpose artificial intelligence, or GPAI, providers under Article 101 of the Artificial Intelligence Act begins. Article 50 transparency duties also start on the same day. Prohibited practice fines under Article 5 can reach 35 million euros or seven.
What is the key takeaway here for providers?
Providers need to lock down their August 2nd readiness list. This includes ensuring Article 50 labeling, GPAI documentation, and California Senate Bill 942 detection tooling are all in place.
Sarah, thank you for breaking down another packed week of regulatory developments. That is all the time we have for this week's Cyber IQ Weekly podcast.
My pleasure, Alex.
To our listeners, thank you for tuning in. For sources, links, and the full brief, please subscribe to the CyberIQ newsletter at cyberiq.com. We will be back next week with more actionable regulatory intelligence.